I know some pastors, good friends of mine. They're sincere, and they teach that the gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts have passed away. I want you to listen to me now. If that is the case, if all the gifts of the Spirit have now passed away, then all we have is the truth of God without an ounce of power.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day, everyone, and welcome. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's series, Divided Church, from the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians. Pastor's study continues today with a message entitled, Unity in Diversity. Now, Pastor.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 will be beginning in verse 12. If you're visiting with us this morning or tuning in live for the very first time, we're doing an in-depth study on the gifts of the Spirit here in Corinthians, and also on Sundays, we're going through the entire epistle as well. Remember that chapters 11 through 14 introduce us now to the issues that were occurring, specifically the issue in public worship, and that is the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit. The church at Corinth was a young church. It was in trouble. They were elevating the gifts and so forth, elevating people, especially the gift of tongues and interpretations of tongues, which we will cover in depth when we get to chapter 14. Those are the gifts of utterance, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. We've already covered the other six gifts the last couple of weeks. But when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, the abuse that was going on, it wasn't that the church in Corinth, it wasn't that they weren't zealous for the gifts. They were zealous for the gifts. Unfortunately, they were zealous in the wrong way. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to build up the body of Christ, not to tear down the body of Christ. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit are meant to exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Never exalt a man. Never exalt a ministry. Jesus told us in John 16, 14, he says, "The Holy Spirit will glorify me," Jesus said. So the gifts of the Spirit, which are ruled by love, gifts show our ministry. Fruit shows our maturity. Anyone can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. They can be a one-day-old believer. Amen? Okay. So the thing is that we want to make sure that we understand that today, that always when a true gift is manifested and it's done according to the Word of God, not outside of God's Word, but according to the Scripture, it always, always exalts our Lord Jesus Christ. It always draws attention to Jesus and never, never unto man. Now listen, very important this morning as we talk about unity in diversity. As we go into verses 12 through 31, it's easy for us to forget that we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit because we start talking now about the body, the human body, as compared to the body of Christ. And Paul uses that example, if you will. In other words, in our human body, which is one single unit, we have all these things that are going on in our body. Amen? Thank you. I was just like, are you there? But you know what? We don't see everything that's happening. We don't know everything that's happening, but we're thank God that it is happening. Amen? That's right. But there's tremendous unity in our body, but great diversity as well. Well, the same thing applies to the body of Christ. So when we go through these verses, 12 through 31, it's about the gifts of the Spirit. It's about the things that God has given to each and every believer. So we're going to look this morning at unity in diversity. And remember that the gifts of the Spirit never operate as a man wills or a woman wills. They operate, as it says in verse 11, as the Spirit wills. They're manifested as he wills and only when he wills. Amen? A person can say, well, I have the gift of healing. Okay, well, if you have the gift, then you're in control, and then you can just pray for anyone at any time. We know that's not true, even though today that is an abuse of the Spirit. People say that they do those things, but that's not true. Beginning in verse 12, the unity and diversity, let's look. For as the body, meaning the human body, loved one, it is one, meaning it's in unity, has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, form or are one body. Literally, they form one body. So also is Christ. You know and I know that your body is composed of many, many different members, okay? And every member that you have in your body is created to do a specific thing, or it has a different function, amen? In other words, my heart does one thing, my lungs do another thing. They're not the same, though, are they? Okay, so we have many gifts in our body, man, many, many different members and many, many different functions, but yet each member in your body, I pray, and in my body, they are all working together in perfect harmony and in perfect unity. Boy, and if they're not, do we know it? Oh, come on. I mean, listen, when one part of our body's messed up, it affects us all. And then Paul says, so also is Christ, okay? Literally, you could read it this way. So also is the body of Christ. In other words, we apply the same example. The body of Christ is composed of many different members. There you are, if we just look at the local assembly this morning. Many different members, yet each member has a different function. All of us. You're unique. There's no one like you. Do you understand? You have that gift that God has given to you. And listen carefully. Each member in the body of Christ is supposed to be working together in unity. I use that word supposed to be because you know and I know that that's not the case. Isn't that sad? I guarantee you would not want just half of your body working, would you? No. Now look at verse 13. For by one Spirit, and there's only one Holy Spirit, loved one, we are all baptized into one body, meaning all of us together. We're united together in Christ, okay? Whether it be Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made, this is a beautiful word, drink or be drenched in or plunged in, saturated with, into one Spirit. Now, even though there are denominations that are great people, I love them, I hope they love me, but this is not speaking, as they say, of water baptism. Water baptism is outward. Amen? It's an outward expression of an inward doing. So water baptism cannot be what Paul means here. You know, it's not inward. Again, water baptism is outward. And we know that it cannot be the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, with some say the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And the fact that I know that is because even though that's a great scripture to use and maybe apply toward the upper room experience or the power upon high, if we went to verse 30 right now, we would know that all of those that are baptized into the body of Christ at Corinth, Paul asked this question. He says, do all speak in other tongues? And the answer is no, they don't. So they were baptized in the body of Christ, yet some still didn't speak in other tongues. So we know this is not speaking about the upper room experience or the being baptized or endued with power from upon high. Listen, this verse 13, this glorious scripture, is about the church, about us, that when we ask Christ Jesus, we as sinners, used to be sinners, you know, we ask Christ Jesus, come into my heart, be the Lord of my life. We are immediately the believing sinner, plunged, baptized, immersed, if you will, into the body of Christ. In other words, that is the new birth. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that this baptism establishes the church, okay, the body of Christ. Galatians 3:27, let me read. For as many of you were baptized into Christ and have put on Christ or clothed with Christ, meaning when God sees you now, he sees you in Christ. He goes, there is neither Jew, there's neither Greek, there's neither slave, there's neither free, there's neither male, there's neither female, there's neither Republican, there's neither Democrat, for they are all one in Christ Jesus. We are the saints of God. Amen? No, we are the set apart ones. We're the body of Christ. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been purchased. We've been translated or conveyed out of the kingdom of darkness or the power of darkness all the way over into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen. I am so thankful that one day Jesus, our Lord, is going to present you blameless. He's going to present you holy in the presence of God. That's what we are. We are the church of the living God, and Jesus is the head of the church. Amen? Now, each one, if you are a believer this morning, every believer, no matter across the street, those believers there or wherever believers are, Every believer is saved by the same grace. They're washed in the same blood. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus. They're sealed with the same Holy Spirit. Amen. Not only that, they're sustained by the power of the same Holy Spirit. They're following the same shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. And each of us share the identical same life of Christ. But we are one, but we are not the same. Do you understand? We are in perfect oneness, but we're not perfect sameness. Why? Because each believer in the body of Christ has been given a different gift with a different function. That's where our differences lie. God says, okay, you may be the liver, you may be the heart. You understand what I'm getting at. Each of us, we're so unique in the eyes of God. That's why it says in verse 14, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Now, if the foot should say, and again, here we have a talking foot, okay? Now, saying something in this here, you know, the foot saying something doesn't mean it's a fact, all right? So watch this. So if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, I just don't belong to the body, and it is therefore not of the body, I'm not a member of the body. And if the ear should say, now we have a talking ear, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, I don't belong to the body, in other words. It is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, meaning the whole body, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, meaning in the body of Christ, just as the church pleased. No, good, you're smarter than the first service. No, just as God pleased, amen? Now listen, loved one, we're the body of Christ, and the body that functions properly honors its creator. Who are you, who am I, or who was the church at Corinth that had any right to challenge God, the creator, who put the pieces in the body the way he wanted it to be? Amen? See, what was happening then and happening today even is that, you know, the Corinthians and the 21st century, you know what Christians have started doing? They're ranking, if you will, the gifts, okay? They ranked some of the gifts here, and they're saying, now, these gifts are more important, more majestic. They are more essential, more needed than any of the others. To do that is to challenge God who created that, and also to challenge the giver of the gifts, amen? Listen, we don't have any right to do that. You see, we're placed in the body just the way God wants us to be. In other words, my eye, here's my eye right here. I'm thankful I have two eyes, aren't you? Okay, but my eye, it cannot smell. You know, I don't look over, you know, like a T-bone steak and start blinking my eyes at it. Do you? If you do, let's pray after the service. No, we don't do that. My eye cannot smell. Now listen to me. My eyes will never, as long as they're in this body, as long as I'm alive, they will never smell anything. Amen? It doesn't work that way. Why? That's not what they were created for. That's not their function. Do you understand? It will never, never, never happen. Smelling, that is the function of my nose. And you know what? My nose will never, never in all of my life, my nose will never, ever see. Never. Oh, yeah, I can see you. No, it doesn't work that way. It'll never do that. Are you with me? Gifts are important. The parts of our body, the parts of the body of the church are vital. Listen, every part of my body, every part of the body of Christ is so vitally important. Why? There's unity and diversity. We need all the parts of the body. I need every part that's in my body right now. Thank God I want them all. I want them all working. I want them all in harmony. I don't want any pain anywhere in my body. Do you? No. Okay, the same thing goes for the body of Christ. Listen, every part of the human body, every part of the body of Christ is so vital. It is so important. Loved one, listen, diversity never means inferiority. Ears are part of the body. Now, if my ears were gone, would my body be complete? No. Now, some of you, we all have ears, thank God. Some of us have big ears. Some of our ears stick out. We have Dumbo ears. It's okay. It's all right if you have Dumbo ears. Do you know we can hop on you and fly? No, I'm joking. Come on, I love you. I'm teasing with you. You know, but listen, here's the deal. You know, if one of my members in my body, just one, If it's idle, is it working? No, it's idle. Well, listen, you know what? If your gift is idle, talking about the body of Christ, if your gift is idle because your gifting that God has given you is unique, if it's idle, if it's asleep, you know what? That part of the local assembly is not being, it's dead. Nothing's moving, nothing's happening, nothing's functioning. See, too many believers in the 21st century, loved one, they will never, ever experience the joy of being used by the Holy Spirit. They'll never experience the joy of ministry. And the reason is because they will not step out by faith and simply say, Lord, I know you've given me a gift. Now use me. You'll never discover it unless you do those things, loved one. And listen, how tragic. Here it is. I mean, can you imagine? God has given me a right hand. Here it is. Can you imagine to have a right hand? There it is, and I just look at it, and you know what? I never, ever use my right hand. I never discover what my right hand can or cannot do. It's just there. It's just my right hand. It's just attached to the body. You know, it's getting life from every part of my body, but you're doing nothing. Okay. No, loved one, listen. See, if your right hand on your body is not doing what God gifted it to do, then it means somebody else in your body, another part of your body, has to take over and help what this part is not doing. Is that right? But they're not created to do what the right hand is doing. Do you see what I'm getting at? Now they're out of divine order. Now they're saying, well, I'm not a right hand. Yeah, this is the right hand, but my right hand is not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And now my left hand, I'm going to try to help, and I can't shave with my left hand. You tried. Oh, no, loved one, no, you can't do that. No, listen, God never makes mistakes. Never. He has given you at least one perfect gift. And carefully, with the wisdom of God, placed you exactly where you need to be in the body of Christ, and he has done so just as he wills. Loved one, Jesus is the head of the church. By him, all things consist. Amen? Listen, we are his body. Loved one, listen, my body and your body, it has a single will, doesn't it? My body, I mean, not one part of my body that I know of right now is going, okay, Bill, man, we're going to just attack you, you know, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, my arm. I mean, can you imagine, say, your right arm has its own will. Here I am, and it's just, oh, you know, my left hand, you know, they're not working right. Listen, I want my eyes, I want my lips, I want my feet, I want my arms in my human body to function the way God created them to function, and I want them to be used for what God intended. Amen? It's not your will, not thy will be done, his will, God's will be done, Jesus' will be done. Amen? Your body has one single will, and when it's not operating right, it messes everything up, the same thing in the church. Listen, like I told the early service, you know, I injured my left hand about 3 months ago. And so I went to the doctor, and my ring finger, it started locking on me. And so, anyway, make a long story short, he gave me a shot, you know, said, okay, Bill, let's see what this does, you know, and it didn't work. So I came and he said, well, let me give you one more shot. And I said, this will do it. So I said, great. And then he said, if that doesn't work, we're going to have to operate. You know, and we're going to just make a small incision there, you know, and then we're going to do something in the little whatever it is, and you'll be able to use it and never even know it. I said, okay, never know it, all right. Now, you get hurt twice when you go to the doctor, the bill and the pain, you know what I'm saying? So if you've ever had a trigger finger, it has its own will. Do you understand? In other words, I know it's hard to believe that a man my age, 30 years old, wears contacts, okay? But you know, when I put my contact, I take him out of the little carrier and I put him right there in the palm of my hand, and I get the solution, and I'm rinsing them off so I can put them in my eye. Well, when I do that, I hold my contact down right there and I'm rinsing it. But see, that finger locks. You see, isn't that gross? It has its own will. So what does it do? It grabs a hold of that contact and then it decides on its own will to boom. That contact flies all the way. Whoa! You know, that's what I'm talking about. Well, are you out of the will of God? You're a member of the body of Christ. You're plugged into the body of Christ. Listen to me, loved one. Your gift works only in the body of Christ. It cannot work outside of the body of Christ. Are you hearing me?
It can't. It's an impossibility. You die when you go outside of the body. You remove my heart, put it upon this table, my pulpit. I'm a dead man. The gifts work only in the body of Christ. And you are a gift that God has given. Listen, he says, and if there were all only one member, verse 19, where would the body be? In other words, a body with just one part, is it a body? No, not at all. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet just one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, well, I have no need of you. See, that was the problem at Corinth. You know, they had an eye problem, okay? Not the eye, but the eye problem, okay? Yeah, listen, the body is not a body if it only has one member. And here's what Paul is saying. You see, the people at Corinth, and the use and the abuse of the gifts of the Spirit, they falsely believed that the more superior gifts are what they considered to be superior gifts. They believed that that's all that was needed. And those gifts now were sufficient for all of the body of Christ. No, no, no. In order for the body of Christ to function, your body to function, you have to have every gift, every member that God created and put there, right? Very important, loved one. Yes, and that's what Paul is saying. Listen, the greatest deception today and then from the devil himself is this, is for the supernatural church of God to look at each other and say, like Corinth did, I don't need you. I have absolutely no need of you. Well, let me tell you something. That's the way that people look today at the body of Christ. But loved one, tell your heart you don't need it. I don't need my heart. I don't need my lungs. I don't need my brain. Well, no, I think the church can function without a brain. But anyway, I just wanted to see if you're listening. No, loved one, listen. The heart, you don't ever say that. Is there any particular member of your body that you're saying, I don't need you, I'm willing to lose it? Do you want your thumb to be there? Do you want your big toe to be there? If I didn't have my big toes right now, which you don't see them, but if I didn't have them, did you know I could not be standing? They keep me balanced. Did you know that? See, every part of the body has a purpose, a divine purpose. You are a gift from God that he's given you, a gift for the whole body of Christ to operate the right way. Listen, the next time you say, I have no need of you, the next time that you're in pain, you know, don't call the pastor. Don't call the elder. Do I need to anoint me with oil? I'm sick. I have no need of you. Next time that you're sad and you're burdened and your head is hung low, don't look around and say, well, I wish, where's the person who has the gift of mercy, the gift of health, or the gift of encouragement, exhortation rather. No, you say, I have no need of you. Listen, we need each other. Why? We're the body. We can't neglect one part of the body. You neglect one part of your human body, is it going to suffer? Yes, well, the same thing occurs in the body of Christ. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, I believe it is, we are members one of another. I need you. You need me. We need every part, every gift, every function in the body of Christ. We need everything operating and operating smoothly. He says, and no much rather, or literally on the contrary, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, literally are essential. In other words, you know, you think, well, that's not necessary. Well, you know what? You can lose an ear, you can lose an eye, you can even lose a foot or whatever, but you're still going to live, can't you? But you lose your heart, you lose your lungs, you lose your kidneys, you lose your liver. Are you going to live? No. So see, he says, well, and those members, meaning the parts of the body, which we think, not God thinks, but we think to be less honorable. Remember, he's correcting the Corinthians. To think less honorable, we bestow greater honor on our presentable parts because our presentable parts have greater modesty. The word bestow means to dress or to clothe, wrap clothing around. In other words, he says, part of our bodies, of course, we clothe. Because of modesty. That's just, you know, we're not walking around without clothes on, amen? So we cover up, it says, you know, the unpresentable parts. That's why we wear shoes. I mean, I've seen some ugly toes in my life. There are people that wear sandals in this church. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but cover it up, man. I mean, that's bad. Listen, I'm joking.
Once again, we're out of time, but you can hear the remainder of this message on our program tomorrow. And we trust you'll join us once again. Amen. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the study today, and we pray that you have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.